Trainer Chad Brown, a native of Saratoga Springs, New York, has trained, at least to date anyways, 999 career winners. By the time this interview airs, very well could be over 1,000. And Chad, I know that that's a very special milestone for you. What comes to mind when you think about that?
All my loyal clients, my staff, particularly my three lead assistant trainers have been with me the longest, George Abreu, Jose Hernandez, and Sheree DeVoe. All really starts with them and all the talented people that work with them that they've lined up for our stable and that they've trained and put a lot of hours in and worked as a team. That's the thing that comes to mind. And, of course, all of the brave horses we've had over the years that give it their all in the afternoon. It's a wonderful spot to be in. I'm a lucky guy.
With those 999 winners, there's one race that you haven't won yet, and that's the Travers Stakes, which comes up here on Saturday. What is it about the Travers that makes it so difficult?
It's a midsummer derby for a reason. It's the race everybody shoots for. Me personally, growing up in the area, the Travers Stakes was always a highlight of the summer for me and my family coming to the track. Such a historic race. It's at the top of our list of what we want to do as a team is to win this race. Hopefully this year we have a horse good enough to do it.
You talk about coming here with your family. I also grew up an hour from here in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, so this is where I cut my teeth on racing too. My first Travers was 1989 with Easy Goer. How about yours?
I can't remember to be exact, but I know that ever since I was knee-high, we were coming to the track as a family and going to the Travers, and there's been a lot of memorable ones and just a dream come true even to participate in this race at this level with three really live horses. And like I said, it would just be awesome if one of them was good enough to do it.
A couple of your mentors, Hall of Famer Shug McGahee and the late Hall of Famer Bobby Frankel, have won the Travers. Shug did it three times. Bobby did it with Medaglia d'Oro in 2007. Do you ever go back and look at the way that they approached this race or even go back and talk to Shug and bounce some ideas off of him?
No, I haven't. Luckily, I was working for Bobby when we had Medaglia d'Oro in the barn and got to watch him prepare that horse. And hopefully, I like to think I learned a few things along the way. You have to first have the horse. And he was a great horse to work around. Like I said, we have three horses that don't have quite their credentials that a few of the other ones have, already being grade one winners in the field. However, three horses I think have a bright future that are still developing. I think their best races are ahead of them. I feel like all three of my horses are going to run their best career race on Saturday. And whether that's good enough remains to be seen.
Well, let's talk about those three horses. We'll start with Connect and Gift Box, since they were only a length apart in that most recent outing. Connect is a horse that's very, very talented, 3-for-4 lifetime, the only defeat coming in that maiden race. How'd you get him beat first time out?
Running too short in distance. Connect is a horse that always showed a lot of promise as soon as he came into the barn very early in the summer last year. He had some minor issues along the way. By the time we got him ready to run, the only race in front of me was a 6-furlong race. And I really just wanted to get him started, knowing that I had a potential derby horse, I felt. So, unfortunately, it was a little too short for him, and he exited the race with a small chip in one of his ankles that had to be taken out by Dr. Bramlage. So we just took him off the derby trail. The owner, Paul Pompas, patient, experienced guy, he's had a lot of good horses for a number of years, and he knows how to be patient, how to manage them for the long run. So we came up with a plan pointing towards the Travers at that point, even as a maiden. And we were just talking about it yesterday. Finally a plan worked. We're talking about this horse over the winter as a maiden, talking Travers. It sounds ridiculous at the time, but we've always thought that of this horse. We worked backwards from this race back then.
How about Gift Box? He was actually favored over Connect in that Curlin Stakes. Ends up second, as I mentioned, beaten just a length. But what's his story?
Gift Box is a horse that, we've always had high hopes for. He showed a lot of promise as a two-year-old. He fortunately got to run here at Saratoga last year and and made it all the way to the Remsen, where he ran incredibly. You know, this horse lost his way down in Florida. I took him down there thinking very much Derby trail, and he just wasn't training right down there. He kept having little minor setbacks, nothing terrible. He never had to go home, but Florida just didn't agree with him. So we made a difficult decision to send him back to New York late in the winter and see if we just put him back to his home base at Belmont, if that could kickstart him, and it did. And another wonderful, experienced, patient owner, and Mr. Will Farish, that said, hey, forget about the Derby. Do the right thing by the horse. Maybe we'll have a Travers horse. And this plan worked as well. We just took our time. We brought him along with stuff he could handle. We feel like we're bringing him to the Travers now, ready to peak.
Yeah, and with his past performance lines, you look at it, he was third in his debut, then first, then third, then first, and then second last time out. So maybe first again on Saturday. Who knows?
I hope that cycle is played right into our hands Saturday, and he's ready to get back on the win end.
How about my man Sam, maybe the most experienced of the three?
Yeah, he did make it to the Derby. He's a late bloomer and had to play a little bit of catch-up, but he ran so well in the Bluegrass, we thought it was worth a shot to run him in the Derby. And, you know, he ran okay. He wasn't good enough that day. I thought he got a pretty good trip. You know, he split the field and needed a little time to recover after that race. He was quite tired after the Derby. So we have a local prep over the track and allow and trace. Disappointing that he got beat, but he got a lot out of that race. He's a difficult horse to train off a little layoff because he doesn't really give it to you in the mornings. I can't get him as fit as I'd like off a layoff, this horse, because he's a bit lazy in the mornings. That race really tightened him up. I know he's a long shot. He's going to need things to go his way pace-wise up front, but I think he deserves a shot in the race the way he's training.
You're no stranger to saddling multiple horses in big races. So you have three in the Travers. What's it like for a trainer walking in there with three major players? You have three different jockeys, three sets of jockey instructions, and then you have to watch all three horses during the race. Take me through that process. What's it like?
You have to be extremely organized. And like I said earlier, I have unbelievable staff I work with every day. So we have a plan. We normally get the instructions or conversation with the jockeys out of the way in the days prior to the race. Or the morning of the race. And then just putting three saddles on three horses, you better be organized in the paddock. And like I said, I have the staff to do it. And it's one of those situations where each horse individually belongs to run in this race. And that's always the way I approach it with big races. If I run multiple horses, it's because each individual horse, I feel, deserves the right to run. And my clients don't have a problem with it.
How do you keep an eye on all three during the race when you're watching it?
That can be challenging at times, but it's what we do. So we keep an eye on everything.
Well, good luck in the Travers. Maybe another big storyline, maybe the storyline of the day, could turn out to be Lady Eli, who you bring back, of course, undefeated, a perfect 6-for-6. She hasn't started since winning the Belmont Oaks Invitational last year. The bout of laminitis, actually in both feet. Tell me about what's been going on with Lady Eli, and take me back to that day when you first got the news.
Yeah, so many ups and downs with this filly. It's hard to believe it's been this long now since she first was stricken with this scary disease. Thankfully, she's made a full recovery. She's training outstanding. It's been a long way back. It took a lot of teamwork from a lot of talented people along the way. Veterinarians, her podiatrist, Brian Fraley, who's been just such an important part of this to... He's been shoeing her monthly and making little adjustments along the way. And, really a learning experience for me and my staff about how to deal with this and what's possible if you get the right team together. And the most valuable member of the team is Lady Eli. She has the will to come back.
Yeah, and of course you lost a member of that team. Passed away, was actually killed in a motor vehicle accident riding his bike in Vermont this past year, and he was an instrumental part of her recovery in the early stages of that success. That had to be very difficult.
Yeah, it was. Dr. Bob Agnew, he is tragically killed last summer, and he was one of the first, him along with Brian Fraley, they were the first two podiatrists to rush to the side of Lady Eli, and I'm sure that Dr. Bob Agnew's efforts contributed to saving Lady Eli's life, along with Dr. Fraley. So if this filly, her just getting back here is really a tribute to him. And if she wins, surely we'll dedicate that win to him and his family. He's without him, we wouldn't be here.
Things in those early stages were very touch and go, and a lot of people weren't knowing if she was going to make it or not. How difficult was that for you?
It was difficult because, I'm trying to assemble the team, make the final decisions about what we're going to do, knowing that it's uncharted territory for myself as well. We dealt with laminitis, but not at this level, and trying to balance, the feelings of the clients that own the horse, led by Saul Kuhman and Jay Hanley, manage the morale of my staff. Obviously, Lady Eli first and foremost, what's in her best interest, racing aside. And I'd like to think along the way that as a team we've made a lot of the right decisions here, and and it's time to go. And I'm under no pressure to run the horse from anybody. I feel a horse really wants to run, so I'm going to let her run. And it's what adds to it as well is the fact that she's undefeated, and it's a tall order off over a year layoff after recovering from laminitis, and you have an undefeated champion, Breeders' Cup champion. You surely don't want to put her in a position where you think she's vulnerable to get beat, but at the same time, it's horse racing, and you're going to have to lead them over sooner or later. And we've been in this position before, with a horse like Awesome Feather off of another year layoff with a tendon injury that's undefeated, a Breeders' Cup champion. And we weren't afraid to run her, and she came back and won and continued on her record all the way to her last race. So in a way, we've been here before, and we're not afraid to run her.
Will there be some anxious moments when she loads into the starting gate?
Absolutely. I don't like to think of myself getting nervous anymore over big races, believe it or not, just because we've grown accustomed to it. We don't take it for granted, but I've come to the realization that certain things are out of my hands once they go in the starting gate. So this race, though, is a little different. So I'll be a little nervous when they load her in there.
You're always great about giving the horses credit. You've mentioned Lady Eli. It's all about her and her tremendous recovery and how strong she's been. Were there times during this past year where you said, boy, I just don't see any way she makes it back?
No, I never felt that way. I was never negative about it. When I first got her into Florida around December, there was a little period of time there when I first started her back where I was unsure. By February, I'll tell you, I felt certain she was making it back. I didn't know when, but early on when we started galloping this filly, the way she was moving, the fact that her feet x-ray perfectly normal, her attitude, everything about her body language, I knew it would be a long road, but that was the one stage where I really felt at some point in time this filly will run.
What is it about her that makes her so special?
She has such a strong will, a dominant attitude, that she just refuses to lose anything she does. And it's remarkable. I've never in my life worked around a horse like her. Never. She's so unique. How strong, how brave she is, how talented she is, her overall makeup. I've never seen it before. I'm not sure I'll see it again.
Well, Saturday could be a very special day for you with the Travers, with Lady Eli. Could be a very emotional day, too. So bring your handkerchief with you.
Thank you. I will do.
Good luck, my friend.
Thank you.